Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading from the journal and diary, actually, the life and diary of David Brainerd. David Brainerd, missionary to the Indians in the 1700s. And this is part three from the time of his being licensed to preach until he was examined in New York, and some of the struggles he goes through in his spiritual life, as always with this man. And it's difficult to behold, but we need to perhaps kick it up a notch in our own life, right? We're in Friday, September 10, 1742, I do believe. Yeah. The five next days, says Jonathan Edwards about him, he appears to have been in an exceedingly comfortable frame of mind, for the most part, and to have been the subject of the like heavenly exercises as are often expressed in preceding passages of his diary, such as having his heart much engaged for God, wrestling with him in prayer with power and ardency, enjoying at times sweet calmness and composure of mind, giving himself up to God to be his forever, with great complacence of mind, being wholly resigned to the will of God, that he might do with him what he pleased, longing to improve time, having the eternal world, as it were, brought nigh, longing after God and holiness, earnestly desiring a complete conformity to him, wondering how poor souls do to exist without God. Now, Thursday, September 16, this is Brainerd speaking, at night, enjoyed much of God in secret prayer, felt an uncommon resignation to be and do what God pleased. Some days past, I felt great perplexity on account of my past conduct and my bitterness and want of Christian kindness and love. It has been very distressing to my soul. The Lord forgive me my unchristian warmth and want of a spirit of meekness. Saturday, September 18, felt some compassion for souls, mourned that I had no more. I feel much more kindness, meekness, gentleness, and love towards all mankind than ever. I long to be at the feet of my enemies and persecutors. Enjoyed some sweetness in feeling my soul conformed to Christ Jesus and given away to him forever. Now, Edwards says that the next day he speaks of much dejection and discouragement from an apprehension of his own unfitness ever to do any good in preaching, but blesses God for all dispensations of providence and grace, finding that by all God weaned him more from the world and made him more resigned. The next 10 days he appears to have been for the most part under great degrees of melancholy, exceedingly dejected and discouraged, speaks of his being ready to give up all for gone, respecting the cause of Christ, and exceedingly longing to die, yet had some sweet seasons and intervals of comfort and special assistance and enlargement in the duties of religion and in performing public services and considerable success in them. Now we're at September 30 on Thursday, still very low in spirits. I did not know how to engage in any work or business, especially to correct some disorders among Christians. Felt as though I had no power to be faithful in that regard. However, towards noon I preached from Deuteronomy 8:2, and thou shalt remember, and so on, and was enabled with freedom to reprove some things in Christians' conduct that I thought very unsuitable and irregular, insisted near 2 hours on this subject. Through this and the two following weeks, Edward says that he passed through a variety of exercises. He was frequently dejected and felt inward distresses, sometimes sunk into the depths of melancholy, at which turn he was not exercised about the state of his soul with regard to the favor of God and his interest in Christ, but about his own sinful infirmities and unfitness for God's service. His mind appears sometimes extremely depressed and sunk with a sense of inexpressible vileness, but in the meantime he speaks of many seasons of comfort and spiritual refreshment, wherein his heart was encouraged and strengthened in God, and sweetly resigned to his will, of some seasons of very high degrees of spiritual consolation, and of his great longings after holiness and conformity to God, of his great fear of offending God, and of his heart being sweetly melted in religious duties, of his longing for the advancement of Christ's kingdom, of his having at times much assistance in preaching, and of remarkable effects on the auditory. All right, back to Brainerd on October 17, the Lord's Day. Had a considerable sense of my helplessness and inability. I saw that I must be dependent on God for all I want, and especially, and he mean the word want in those days means lack or need, not desire. All I lack, especially when I went to the place of public worship. I found I could not speak a word for God without his special help and assistance. I went into the assembly trembling, as I frequently do, under a sense of my insufficiency to do anything in the cause of God as I ought to do. But it pleased God to afford me such assistance, and there seemed to be a considerable effect on the hearers. In the evening I felt a disposition to praise God for his goodness to me, that he had enabled me in some measure to be faithful. And my soul rejoiced to think that I had thus performed the work of one day more, and was one day nearer my eternal and, I trust, my heavenly home. Oh, that I might be faithful to the death, fulfilling as a hireling my day, until the shades of the evening of life shall free my soul from the toils of the day. This evening in secret prayer I felt exceeding solemn, and such longing desires after deliverance from sin and after conformity to God as melted my heart. Oh, I longed to be delivered from this body of death. I felt inward pleasing pain that I could not be conformed to God entirely, fully, and forever. I scarce ever preach without being first visited with inward conflicts and sore trials. Blessed be the Lord for these trials and distresses, as they are blessed for my humbling. Monday, October 18. In the morning, I felt some sweetness, but still pressed through trials of soul. My life is a constant mixture of consolations and conflicts, and will be so till I arrive at the world of spirits. Tuesday, October 19. This morning and last night, I felt a sweet longing in my soul after holiness. My soul seemed so to reach and stretch towards the mark of perfect sanctity that it was ready to break with longings. Wednesday, October 20. Exceeding infirm in body, exercised with much pain, and very lifeless in divine things. Felt a little sweetness in the evening. Thursday, October 21. Had a very deep sense of the vanity of the world most of the day. Had little more regard to it than if I had been to go into eternity the next hour. Through divine goodness, I felt very serious and solemn. Oh, I love to live on the brink of eternity in my views and meditations. This gives me a sweet, awful, and reverential sense and apprehension of God and divine things when I see myself, as it were, standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Friday, October 22. Uncommonly weaned from the world today. My soul delighted to be a stranger and pilgrim on the earth. I felt a disposition in me never to have anything to do with this world. The character given of some of the ancient people of God, Hebrews 11:13, was very pleasing to me. It says they confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth by their daily practice. Oh, that I could always do so. Spent some considerable time in a pleasant grove in prayer and meditation. It is sweet to be thus weaned from friends and from myself, and dead to the present world, that so I may live wholly to and upon the blessed God. I saw myself little, low, and vile in myself. In the afternoon I preached at Bethlehem from Deuteronomy 8:2. God helped me to speak to the hearts of dear Christians. Blessed be the Lord for this season. I trust they and I shall rejoice on this account to all eternity. Dear Mr. Bellamy came in while I was making the first prayer, being returned home from a journey. And after meeting, we walked away together and spent the evening in sweetly conversing on divine things and praying together. with sweet and tender love to each other, and return to rest with our hearts in a serious spiritual frame. Saturday, October 23, somewhat perplexed and confused, rode this day from Bethlehem to Simsbury. Lord's Day, October 24, I felt so vile and unworthy that I scarce knew how to converse with human creatures. Monday, October 25, at Turkey Hills, in the evening I enjoyed the divine presence in secret prayer. It was a sweet and comfortable season to me. My soul longed for God, for the living God, enjoyed a sweet solemnity of spirit, and longing desire after the recovery of the divine image in my soul. Then shall I be satisfied when I shall awake in God's likeness, and never before. Tuesday, October 26, at West Suffield. Underwent the most dreadful distresses, under a sense of my own unworthiness. It seemed to me I deserved rather to be driven out of the place than to have anybody treat me with any kindness or come to hear me preach. And verily, my spirits were so depressed at this time, as at many others, that it was impossible I should treat immortal souls with faithfulness. I could not deal closely and faithfully with them. I felt infinitely vile in myself. Oh, what dust and ashes I am, to think of preaching the gospel to others. Indeed, I never can be faithful for one moment, but shall certainly daub with untempered mortar if God do not grant me special help. In the evening I went to the meeting house, and it looked to me near as easy for one to rise out of the grave and preach as for me. However, God afforded me some life and power, both in prayer and sermon, and was pleased to lift me up and show me that he could enable me to preach. Oh, the wonderful goodness of God to so vile a sinner! I returned to my quarters and enjoyed some sweetness in divine prayer alone, and mourned that I could not live more to God. Wednesday, October 27, I spent the forenoon in prayer and meditation. I was not a little concerned about preaching in the afternoon. I felt exceedingly without strength, and very helpless indeed. I went into the meeting house, ashamed to see any come to hear such an unspeakably worthless wretch. However, God enabled me to speak with clearness, power, and pungency. But there was some noise and tumult in the assembly that I did not like well, and I endeavored to bear public testimony against it with moderation and mildness through the current of my discourse. In the evening I was enabled to be in some measure thankful and devoted to God. Now Edwards comments, the frames and exercises of his mind during the next 4 days were mostly very similar to those of the 2 days past, excepting intervals of considerable degrees of divine peace and consolation. The things expressed within the space of the 3 following days are such as these: some seasons of dejection, mourning for being so destitute of the exercises of grace, longing to be delivered from sin, pressing after more of God, seasons of sweet consolation, precious and intimate converse with God in secret prayer, sweetness of Christian conversation, and so on. Within this time, he rode from Suffield to Eastbury and Hebron and Lebanon. And we are in the state of Connecticut, by the way. Thursday, November 4, at Lebanon, I saw much of my nothingness most of this day, but I felt concerned that I had no more sense of my insufficiency and unworthiness. It is sweet lying in the dust, but it is distressing to feel in my soul the hell of corruption which still remains in me. In the afternoon I had a sense of the sweetness of a strict, close, and constant devotedness to God, and my soul was comforted with his consolations. My soul felt a pleasing yet a painful concern lest I should spend some moments without God. Oh, may I always live to God! In the evening I was visited by some friends and spent the time in prayer and such conversation as tended to our edification. It was a comfortable season to my soul. I felt an intense desire to spend every moment for God. God is unspeakably gracious to me continually. In times past he has given me inexpressible sweetness in the performance of duty. Frequently my soul has enjoyed much of God, but has been ready to say, Lord, it is good to be here, and so to indulge sloth while I have lived on the sweetness of my feelings. But of late, God has been pleased to keep my soul hungry, almost continually, so that I've been filled with a kind of pleasing pain. When I really enjoy God, I feel my desires of Him the more insatiable, and my thirstings after holiness the more unquenchable. And the Lord will not allow me to feel as though I were fully supplied and satisfied, but He keeps me still reaching forward. I feel barren and empty, as though I could not live without more of God. I feel ashamed and guilty before Him. Oh, I see that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. I cannot live to God. Oh, for holiness. Oh, for more of God in my soul. Oh, this pleasing pain. It makes my soul press after God. The language of it is, then shall I be satisfied when I awake in God's likeness. That's Psalm 17, the last part. But never, never before. And consequently, I am engaged to press toward the mark day by day. Oh, that I may feel this continual hunger and not be retarded, but rather animated by every cluster from Canaan, to reach forward in the narrow way for the full enjoyment and possession of the heavenly inheritance. Oh, that I may never loiter in my heavenly journey. These insatiable desires after God and holiness, well, they continue, says Edwards, the next 2 days, with a great sense of his own exceeding unworthiness and nothingness of the things of this world. Lord's Day, November 7, at Millington, Connecticut, it seemed as if such an unholy wretch as I never could arrive at that blessedness to be holy as God is holy. At noon I longed for sanctification and conformity to God. Oh, that is the all, the all. The Lord help me to press after God forever. Monday, November 8, towards night, enjoyed much sweetness in secret prayer, so that my soul longed for an arrival in the heavenly country, the blessed paradise of God. Through divine goodness I have scarce seen the day for 2 months, but death has looked so pleasant to me at one time or other of the day that I could have rejoiced the present should be my last, notwithstanding my pressing inward trials and conflicts. I trust the Lord will finally make me a conqueror, more than a conqueror, and that I shall be able to use that triumphant language. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Within the next 10 days, says Edwards, the following things are expressed: longing and wrestling to be holy, to live to God, desire that every single thought might be for God, feeling guilty that his thoughts were no more swallowed up in God, and sweet solemnity and calmness of mind, submission and resignation to God, great weanedness from the world, abasement in the dust, grief at some vain conversation that was observed, sweetness from time to time in secret prayer, and in conversing and praying with Christian friends. And every day he appears to have been greatly engaged in the great business of religion and living to God without interruption. Friday, November 19, New Haven. I received a letter from the Reverend Mr. Pemberton of New York, desiring me speedily to go down thither and consult about the Indian affairs in those parts, and to meet certain gentlemen there who were entrusted with those affairs. My mind was instantly seized with concern, so I retired with 2 or 3 Christian friends and prayed. Indeed, it was a sweet time with me. I was enabled to leave myself and all my concerns with God. And taking leave of friends, I rode to Ripton and was comforted in an opportunity to see and converse with dear Mr. Mills. In the 4 next following days, says Edwards, he was sometimes oppressed with the weight of that great affair about which Mr. Pemberton had written to him. But he was enabled from time to time to cast his burden on the Lord and to commit himself and all his concerns to him. He continued still in a sense of the excellency of holiness, longings after it, and earnest desires of the advancement of Christ's kingdom in the world, and had from time to time sweet comfort in meditation and prayer. Wednesday, November 24. Came to New York. I felt still much concerned about the importance of my business. Put up many earnest requests to God for his help and direction. Was confused with the noise and tumult of the city. Enjoyed but little time alone with God, but my soul longed after him. Thursday, November 25. Spent much time in prayer and supplication. Was examined by some gentlemen of my Christian experience and my acquaintance with divinity and some other studies in order to my improvement in that important affair of gospelizing the heathen. And I was made sensible of my great ignorance and unfitness for public service. I had the most abasing thoughts of myself, I think, that ever I had. I thought myself the worst wretch that ever lived. It hurt me and pained my very heart that anybody should show me any respect. Alas, methought, how sadly they are deceived in me. How miserably would they be disappointed if they knew my inside. Oh, my heart! And in this depressed condition I was forced to go and preach to a considerable assembly before some grave and learned ministers, but felt such a pressure from a sense of my vileness, ignorance, and unfitness to appear in public that I was almost overcome with it. And my soul was grieved for the congregation that they should sit there to hear such a dead dog as I preach. I thought myself infinitely indebted to the people, longed that God would reward them with the rewards of his grace. And then I spent much of the evening alone. David Brainerd. Oh, my. David Brainerd. I'm not laughing at him, believe me. I'm laughing at us who don't even get close to this guy in our dedication. Do we? Maybe some of you do. I'm sorry. I don't know who's listening. But we're going to find out what these people wanted to know and what they found out. This is one of his exams. They had exams a little different than us to get him ready for ministry to the Indians. I have other things on this website. I won't go through it all today. This program note, though, I'm getting ahead again in the studies of Romans, getting ahead. So those in real time, you need to know that I'm not going to wait till Monday this time. I'm going to do another lesson tomorrow, Lord willing. Lesson 17, I believe, part 17 of the book of Romans tomorrow. And then perhaps on Friday, we'll get back to David Livingstone. Thank you so much for being here today. And this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.